Welcome to the Between Sessions podcast. We are two brown chicks changing the face of therapy.
On both sides of the couch.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay. That's what we are. And you are?
I'm Ebony Harris.
And I'm Melissa Bokeen.
And we are co-founders of Melanin and Mental Health and co-hosts of Between Sessions
Between
podcast.
Sessions.
So we discuss everything related to mental health and minority communities. This month, we are focusing on love and sex because
yes.
It is February, the month of love. Also, Black History Month.
Yes.
I'm just so glad.
I love it. I am so loving it.
March, y'all going to see a whole other person.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Enjoy it now while it lasts.
In March, I'm going to be a completely different person.
Okay.
New flowing hair. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. Anyway, so today we are just going to chat about... our practices, we work with couples,
yes.
Both of us do. Elisa's a sex therapist.
Yes.
Completed her ASEC training.
No, I haven't completed it yet. Well,
you completed the training.
I've completed it. I just haven't submitted the paperwork.
Right. You've done everything but submit your paperwork.
So I can't claim that certification.
Okay.
But I do have additional training in sexuality and dealing with sexual health issues.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a relationship therapist. I tend to focus on communication and intimacy and that type of stuff. So I work with people with sexual issues, but I do a lot of stuff outside of like the bedroom. So focusing on reconnecting in relationships,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So we're going to just chat about that a little bit and then also talk about some of the things that we see within our practice, some tips for couples, some tips for singles. So all of that, we're just going to kind of give lots of information today.
Yes, lots of information. Mm-hmm. And if you have questions, you know, you can ask them. So, yes. Let's just dive in.
So, tell us a little bit more about your practice, Elisa.
Okay. So, my practice is the Relationship and Sexual Wellness Center here in Houston, Texas, here in this room.
This is the practice room. Yes.
And I am a marriage and family therapist, licensed marriage and family therapist, relationship expert, sexuality expert, and really what I do is I help women and couples to overcome trauma, shame, any messages that they may have received or any blocks really that sort of inhibit them from really having deeper intimacy, emotional intimacy and sexual intimacy.
Okay. I am a relationship therapist. I'm a licensed professional counselor and a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I practice also in this room.
Yes.
I work mostly with couples that are struggling with communication, problem solving, and intimacy, meaning that they feel like they've lost the spark that they may have had when they first got married or got together. I also work a lot with men that are struggling with sexual issues and or connecting with their spouse. So you work a lot with women. I work a lot with men, which makes us kind of balance each other out.
Yeah.
I really enjoy working with minority men and helping them because especially as we've discussed before, it's kind of difficult to find other minority men within our field.
Our field, yeah.
And so that's just kind of where my passion is helping them kind of overcome their own traumas and their own the messages that they've been taught growing up and understanding. Like kind of how we talked about with Dr. Earl with that whole what we expect of young boys and what we expect of men being two completely different things and helping them kind of figure out what that looks like for them to be a masculine man.
Right.
So that's an overview of my practice.
Mm-hmm.
I also, of course, we talked about have my podcast, Room for Relations,
mm-hmm.
where we discuss all things sex and relationship, everything from the first date to the last orgasm.
Yes.
And I love to speak on anything related to sex and relationships. That's my goal in life is just be able to talk about this topic all the time.
What else is there?
Right. So much fun.
I mean, yes.
So, what in your practice do you feel like you see most, like most of your clients or the most often within your practice?
What I see most often. So, and it's one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about working with women is I might get a lot of women who show up individually and they're struggling just to even feel sexy, right? Like they struggle to be sexual in their relationship, but they're just not even feeling sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be a result of some sort of past trauma, you know, as I explained earlier, or it may just be messages that they've received about what it means to be a sexual woman.
Right.
Which often they're not necessarily receiving a message that it's a positive thing or right. that it's a healthy thing or that it's a natural thing. Mm-hmm. So I'll see a lot of that. And then I'll see couples who might come in and they are just struggling to really be on the same page mm-hmm. about when we have sex.
Right.
Like,
right.
so gaps in desire.
Mm-hmm.
When do we have sex? How much sex? What kind of sex? Mm-hmm. You know, they often may even struggle just to talk about sex.
Right.
You know, I'm mm-hmm. sure you've kind of seen that mm-hmm. in your practice.
Definitely. Definitely. Where you have to kind of even open up that conversation for them is because it's already uncomfortable for them to even discuss.
Right. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'll say that. And then because I have this additional training in sexuality, and I let people know that that's one of the areas that I'm comfortable exploring. I'll get people who may come in because they have non-traditional, relationships or interests that, you know, they are hesitant maybe to go to another clinician, who they're scared that maybe they're going to judge them
right.
or shame them mm-hmm. or not understand them. So, you know, I'll get that as well. So that may be people who are in polyamorous relationships or BDSM practitioners. Mm-hmm. So that's really what I see, you know,
okay.
generally.
Okay.
What about you?
For my practice, I mainly see couples. I see a lot of couples that come to me specifically for communication issues where mm-hmm. we no longer or may have never been able to truly understand each other
mm.
and have trouble feeling like they're not getting their needs met.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'm communicating it. I feel like I'm telling this person, but I'm still not getting my needs met. So
right.
where is where is the miscommunication happening?
Mm-hmm.
I also work with couples that they usually sometimes present as far as like difference in sexual desire or difference in libido, things
right.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then as we explore further, it's more about like that intimacy. They don't really have a connection outside of the bedroom.
Yeah.
So they just feel like they're always kind of fighting each other. They're not really connected in any type of way. And so then that kind of seeps into the bedroom where it's like, I don't really want to have sex with you
right.
because we haven't really connected in any other ways.
I don't even
know?
Like you.
Right, exactly. Like, I barely talk to you and
yeah.
things like that. So focusing on, you know, what is really causing the shift or the struggle within the bedroom, outside of the bedroom. So talking about what are these different types of intimacy and,
mm-hmm.
and what does intimacy even mean? Because
right.
that's a big conversation when I ask couples, like, you know, so how are you as far as intimacy? And they're like, oh, we have sex.
Right.
Da, 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 da.
Right.
And I'm like,
right.
it's not really what I'm asking. You know, that's
right.
good.
Yeah.
But what about these other areas
mm-hmm.
of intimacy and what that means to them and, you know, things like that. So that's a big part of it. And then, like I said before, I tend to work a lot with men. I do individual with women, but I work a lot with men just on trying to understand. They're trying to get better for their wives is
mm.
what it turns into.
Mm.
Like, I am trying to figure out how do I be a good husband. And so discussing, like, what that means for them as well as what it means for their significant other.
Right.
And some sexuality stuff as well. And
yeah.
then, you know, struggles with, like, porn or masturbation
mm-hmm.
and things like that I
mm-hmm.
work with as well. So,
you know, I really like what you're highlighting is how people see intimacy,
mm-hmm.
right? Because whether it be emotional intimacy or sexual intimacy, there's a certain level of vulnerability that is required.
Right. right.
You know, and so, you know, it's so interesting because even within relationships, people will often really struggle to be vulnerable
mm-hmm.
with one another. Do you
mm-hmm.
see that a lot?
A lot. And that's the piece that's often missing is they have sex and they
mm-hmm.
have their, you know, good sex. But even like that's the only place that they're ever like vulnerable.
Mm.
But in other areas of the relationship, they're not. And so then once over time that kind of wanes, they don't recognize it because you haven't opened yourself up in these other areas.
Right.
So that means that this isn't enough necessarily to sustain you.
Right.
So yeah, definitely. I think that they don't necessarily understand that the way to build and grow intimacy
yeah.
is through those acts of vulnerability, through
right.
doing things together and learning about each other and trusting that your partner is not going to take advantage of whatever you share.
Right. And I so often see that, you know, where people don't want to have these uncomfortable conversations and they don't even have to be these big major
mm-hmm.
topics like,
mm-hmm.
you know, what my sexual fantasies are.
Right, right, right.
It can be, ooh, I don't want to tell them that I might you know, I'm nervous about possibly losing my job or mm-hmm. that I didn't get that promotion because they don't want the other person to worry.
Right.
They feel embarrassed, mm-hmm. Or they really want to give off the message that I've got it under control.
Right. Right.
And I'll tell people, you know, it's like when you avoid these topics, it's like there's a monster in the closet that if I just keep the door closed, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. the idea that if we don't open that door, the monster won't come out. But I'm like, what really is happening is the monster is feeding on itself.
Right. Right.
You know?
It's there.
And it's going to keep feeding. And at some point, which is a lot of times when they come and see us, mm-hmm. that monster kicked the door wide open and is like, you're going to deal with me.
Right.
Right.
Right. And I think it's all about safety.
Right.
That's the biggest part that we have to work on as far as with couples is do you feel safe in your relationship?
Right.
Because if you don't feel safe in your relationship, how do you share certain things?
Right.
How do you communicate these issues that you're having with your partner or with yourself or with life or whatever?
Right.
If you don't feel safe in that relationship, it's very difficult to be like, okay, now I'm going to be as open as you want me to be sexually.
Yes.
When I don't feel safe telling you about the job, or I don't
yes.
feel safe telling you that I made a mistake yesterday.
Well, and really explaining to them that safety is not just physical safety.
Right.
Like physical safety, yes, but there's also a certain, like, are you going to shame me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, are you going to attack me? Are you going to get upset with me? Are you going to withhold
right.
love?
Right.
Because that's a big
and
one,
that's
too.
That's a huge mm-hmm. one is if I make you upset, does that mean you're not going to continue to love me anymore?
Right. Right.
Which is a whole other topic because I feel like that goes into childhood stuff and like understanding of what love is and what love isn't and how do people show it and all those things.
No, you're right. You're right. And that, are you going to love me anymore? I think that is really the heart of vulnerability
mm-hmm.
and why we're often so scared because mm-hmm. it's like, are you going to love me anymore if I share with you these parts of me that I'm embarrassed of?
Right.
Or are you going to love me when I share with you what some of my sexual fantasies are
mm-hmm.
or my interests or my fears? And that's that vulnerability that really deepens the mm-hmm. intimacy.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really like my focus in my practice and also in the things I do outside of my practice
mm-hmm.
is talking about that level of intimacy. Outside, like, yes, we talk about sex, we talk about interest, we talk about sexual desire, how often, all those things, like
yes.
matching up schedules, all that stuff.
Yeah, because you got to be intentional discussed. About
right,
it.
Right, exactly. Because sometimes it's just a matter of this has to become a priority.
It has to
and
be.
And you can't say, like, oh, we'll get to it. A lot of people focus on, like, how natural it should be.
Oh, how spontaneous.
How spontaneous.
And that's such a myth.
Yes.
Trust
it's just
me.
It's supposed to happen.
It was never just happening.
Yeah.
Even when at the beginning of the relationship,
right.
it was never just spontaneously happening.
Right.
Because, you know.
You prepared.
You got.
You shaved your legs.
You got waxed. You got them cute, you
put
know.
Put your cute undies on.
Your bra and undies are matching.
Right.
You made
effort.
There
was thought into it. Right.
Because there was a possibility.
Exactly.
Of. If you weren't having intercourse, you still, there was a possibility you were going to be sexual, you were going to be physical, you were going to be intimate. And
just burnt.
And so there, it was never really spontaneous,
right.
you know?
Right.
There was always some level of preparation, intention, and anticipation.
Mm-hmm. And is that something that you work with women on, is even not doing things just for the sake of having sex, but doing things to feel sexual?
Yes, like, you know, that's what I like to tell women. I'm all about being that unapologetic sexual
mm-hmm.
woman, you know, that. And what I mean by that is really defining and embracing your sexuality on your terms,
mm-hmm.
whether you're partnered or solo. But one of the, like, the best ways to be a really great sexual partner is to know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
To understand your body and to understand what brings you pleasure.
Right.
That's
right.
like the, just, let's just start there.
Right. Right.
You know?
You have to learn yourself
mm-hmm.
before you can teach
mm-hmm.
anybody else or expect anybody else
yeah.
to know you.
Yes. And because then, you have to really communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, you know, you work
right.
with them communication tools.
Right.
You have to tell them. And I don't know if you see this, but a lot of times I'll hear, well, we've been together, you know, this long. They should know.
They should know.
If they don't know by now, then, you know.
They should know me we know each other. I know them. Why don't they know that when I get home, this is what I expect. Mm-hmm. And this is, all the time.
They should know, but they don't, or they shouldn't, or it still doesn't exempt us from the responsibility of communicating our experience.
Right. And things change. Like, if you've been together for more than even 6 months, like, you are a different person than you were 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And so my expectations
have
changed.
Can you please repeat that? Repeat that.
You are a completely different person than you were 6 months ago. That means your expectations change. That means your desires change. That means what you need changes. And so your partner has to, like, you're giving it, making it their job to keep up with that.
Yes.
And to just know these changes. And within your relationship, you have so many experiences and you have so many, like, damaging things and things that are great for your relationship, but that all changes the way that your relationship works. So that's why communication is such an important thing.
Yes, and our bodies change.
Right.
You know, our bodies change. I mean, even if you're somebody who says, this is how I am, this is how I'm always going to be, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Which is one of my pet peeves. But, because it's a choice, but that's another day.
Right.
There has been some level of change, at minimum, physical change.
Right.
And you probably are not the same person at, let's say, 27 that you were at 17. At least I hope not. At least I hope not. And so that's okay. And I think so often that sometimes couples panic when they start to see the other person changing, because it goes back to that big question. Are you still going to love me?
Right.
Is this version of you still going to love me?
And that acceptance of people change and we're both going to grow. We might grow at different rates. We might grow in different ways, but we're both going to grow. And can we both accept each other in that growth?
Right.
Yeah.
I often say that, you know, I like that you said that, you know, grow at different rates, because, you know, there's three things that can happen. I'll often tell couples is, you know, the goal is that we're growing in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And maybe at different rates.
Right.
But it's ultimately the same direction. Mm-hmm. Or what can happen is one partner wants to grow, and then this one's like, hey, what are you doing?
Right. Want to keep the same.
Get back
here. Right.
And this person is on some level compromising their growth, their evolution, which often leads to resentment.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or the other option is people will grow apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal really is, you know, especially in long-term committed relationships, is that there's enough space in this relationship where we're both growing and evolving, and that intention of coming back together.
Right.
How do we stay connected through all of this?
Right.
Is what I think people sometimes get into these relationships thinking, well, that's just naturally going to happen because we love each other.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So what are some tips do you have for those people that feel like they are growing apart? And I'll give a couple too. And they are looking to reconnect.
So I think a lot of it has to do with really each person doing their own individual work, for starters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you even aware of what these changes are going on? You know? Like, because it could be that you're starting to feel some discomfort and you're not even understanding why.
Yeah.
So really understanding your experience. I like to tell people, you know, you take care, you know, it's this idea of you take care of you for me and I'll take care of me for you.
Mm-hmm.
So really understanding what's happening with you and then communicating that, like, just even letting your partner know of what's happening to me.
Right.
And how we're going to be intentional about creating moments of connection.
Mm-hmm.
How we're going to continue prioritize. Yeah, maybe I'm changing. Maybe, you know, I'm 40 now and I want to go back to school and make a major career change.
Right.
But I still want you in my life.
Right.
And this is how I'm going to let you know.
This is not me deciding I don't want to be with you anymore.
Right.
This is deciding something that's good for me, which hopefully in turn will be good for us.
Yeah, which is why you have to be intentional about creating that intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think kind of like what we said earlier, too, is like once you kind of have that self-awareness and you know more about yourself and your interests or what's changing and what's happening, then putting yourself in this place of being vulnerable.
Oh, yeah.
That is the biggest connector of people is when you show that you trust this person emotionally, physically, all of those things. that helps you connect more.
Yes.
When, think about when you're first dating, like what connection to that person is mm-hmm. because you're sharing these things mm-hmm. about yourself. You're getting to know each other. Y'all are finding places where it's like, oh, me too. Or I understand that and things like that. Or you're sharing things that you may not have shared with everybody in your life. Like those are those moments that really connect you
right.
in a relationship. And when you're dating, when you're getting to know somebody, and that has to continue throughout the relationship.
Absolutely.
And so that's the first thing I tell people is like, what have you told this person that, you know, maybe you're not so comfortable telling them?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to get to that safe place first,
yes.
right? We have to make sure that you're in a place where you feel comfortable and you feel safe in sharing that, and not to a place where not sharing and knowing that this person can would be a person that easily throws it back in your face.
Right.
So trusting your partner and giving them the benefit of the doubt, and that if you do feel like your partner is somebody that does use things against you, then it's understandable that you're not going to be connected. And so y'all have to work on that first.
Yes.
Before we get to that place of vulnerability.
Just really establishing the ability. Because, you know, a lot of times what I will hear is people say, well, I don't want to bring that up because, you know, it's going to essentially what they're saying is they don't want to bring up a topic because it's going to make us uncomfortable.
Right. Right.
And
it's going to cause tension.
Right. And mm-hmm. it's like, yes.
You're right.
That doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
Like, it's going to be uncomfortable. We don't want to talk about it, but somehow we know we need to.
Right.
And it's this idea, which I think is just human nature, and especially I think in our culture of we don't want anything that is uncomfortable. Like, mm-hmm. we don't want to experience anything
right.
uncomfortable.
Right.
But you can't be on the same page, or you can't share really what's going on in your life without sharing also the uncomfortable.
And growth happens
mm-hmm.
in that uncomfortable space.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to grow, if you want to get better, if you want your relationship to get better, you have to have some discomfort.
Absolutely.
Because that's the only place that you're going to grow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's scary.
Right. It definitely is.
It's scary, especially when, you know, and then depending, like you said, on your early childhood experience of relationships,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, early childhood experience, relationship experiences are really what begin to shape whether we're conscious or not of it,
mm-hmm.
but how we perceive relationships.
Right.
You know, what we think is normal.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Definitely.
And even what we're willing to give and receive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 100%. Some kind of practical things to do. Like if you feel like you are safe within your relationship, you know, you don't feel like scared to share things or anything like that, and you feel like you can kind of move into a space of like, how can we reconnect? Practical things is try something new together.
Yes.
Something that you've never done, either of you have ever done. I'm always telling couples, one of the things for me that connects me with my friends, with my family, with somebody I'm dating or I'm, you know, in love with, is our secrets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our personal things mm-hmm. that we have. And one of the blogs I wrote was about like navigating social events with a new partner or whatever. And I was like, you know, have signals with this person.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of those things. It's kind of like we kind of know each other.
Right.
We have this secret thing that other people don't know about. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's
mm-hmm.
a way to connect. And also just sharing, like we said, just talking about things that maybe you've never discussed before. There's that list of like 40 questions or something that
mm-hmm.
make you fall in love or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like go through a couple of those questions and really be honest and discuss these deep questions about life and all those
yeah.
things. And that really, those are ways to kind of where you're being vulnerable, where you're probably uncomfortable, but it really connects you because you're sharing these experiences with this person.
What do you find? Because, you know, you like you said, you work with a lot of men. What's the feedback that you get from men when you give them like these, you know, suggestions, you know, like do the Cosmo quiz?
Right. It depends. So a lot of what I find working with men is they just want answers.
Yes. Absolutely.
Just tell me what to
A
do.
A to B.
Right.
Yes.
Just tell me what to do. And unfortunately, a lot of times the wives feel like I've been giving you these answers and you haven't heard them. And so it takes a third person to kind of translate it into like ways that they can, like practical steps.
Yeah.
Like if you say, do something sweet for me,
mm-hmm.
wow me, they're
mm-hmm.
like, okay, what does that mean?
Right. And that's where the, well, figure it out.
Right. Right.
Like,
I shouldn't have to tell you step by step, which is understandable, but there is some level of like, they need a starting place.
They need
something. Like, tell me, what is a wow to you? Because I might think that taking your car to get
yeah.
completely detailed and all
yeah.
that kind of stuff is a wow, and you're like, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
So they need a place to start so they can truly understand
yes.
like what the expectation is. But I mean, so it depends on what we're talking about. I do know sometimes it's kind of like the rolling of the eyes. Mm-hmm. And so then I have to kind of redirect that and kind of even discuss, like, well, what is your hesitation to that?
Right.
Or what is your concern? And a lot of times the answer I get is, I've tried that.
Yes.
And then we discuss, well, what does that mean you tried it and what happened? And, you know, let's,
yeah.
But, and when a big thing I always tell my couples when we're working together is, from this point on, we are creating a new relationship.
Yes, we're redefining.
So we can't talk about things that we've tried before when you had all that damage, all that hurt, all mm-hmm. those feelings happening. Mm-hmm. We have to focus on now we're creating a new relationship. We're creating a safe space. We're creating something completely different.
Right.
And so things that you may have tried before
mm-hmm.
are going to look completely different this right. time because y'all are in a different space mm-hmm. at this point. Because now we've moved past some of that hurt and that pain. And
yeah.
we are committed to doing a new, having new eyes.
Right.
Looking at this situation.
What filter?
As opposed, mm-hmm. right, as opposed to using the past filters and whatever mm-hmm. to experience this relationship.
So, you know, and it's what you're saying is a lot of what sort of goes into the work is really re-educating people
right.
on relationships.
100%.
Because we have that, I call it the Jerry Maguire, you know, syndrome where we want, you know, you complete me.
Right.
And
right.
it's like, no. Like, you have to be full, whole individual,
mm-hmm.
be with a whole, full individual,
right.
and compliment
right.
one another.
Right.
But if I'm waiting for someone else to complete me, one, then that excuses me of the responsibility
exactly.
to do my exactly. own work.
Exactly.
And two, it's just impossible. Like, nobody else can be all, be art. You know, end all be all.
Every like I can be supportive of you and your growth, mm-hmm. but I cannot make you grow.
Yes. I can't be your growth.
I can't be your growth.
Right. Right.
So that is something that definitely from scratch is like, what is your ideas of a relationship?
Right.
What did you think your partner, what is their responsibility? What is your responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
Like discussing all of that in the beginning. And that's why some couples are like, I don't like therapy because it takes so long to get into stuff. And it's like, well, I have to understand where mm-hmm. you even come from
right.
and what frame you're coming from. Because everybody has these ideas about what a relationship should be and shouldn't be. And we assume that our partners or whoever we're
yes.
around has those same ideas. And
mm-hmm.
that's just not the case.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. We, you know, I mean, just ask yourself, like, if you're in a committed relationship or if you're married, you know, did you say, you know, did you have that conversation about this? These are my expectations. And this is what I think a good partner is.
Yes.
And this is what my, you know, this is what I'll bring to the relationship, and this is what I think you will be bringing.
Mm-hmm.
And so often those conversations are not had. And then it was like, well, yeah, this is what it means to be in a committed relationship or in a monogamous relationship,
right.
which, you know, people have different definitions.
Completely. Or those conversations are had so early on in the relationship that we don't revisit. We don't. When I do premarital counseling,
yeah.
that's the biggest thing. Like, we've talked about all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all going to talk about this again in 6 months,
yes.
a year, 2 years. Like, these topics shouldn't stop being topics because we talked about them 5 years ago.
Or they talked about it and it's like, you hear them telling you, I don't ever want kids. And then you're like, yeah, maybe you will want them.
Yes.
Once we're together
right.
long enough,
you'll change your mind.
They'll start to see, you know, other kids, you know, and it's like you really have to listen to what the other person is saying
mm-hmm.
and not what you want them
right.
to say.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And being present in the relationship as it is right now.
Right.
Not being so, I mean, you know, I'm always like, you know, I'm happy when you have those happy memories because that's
mm-hmm.
something that we can kind of hold on to, that
mm-hmm.
kind of anchor us, and then we can kind of pull back on it and be like, oh, but remember the time? That's great. But where are we at now?
Yes.
And what do we have going on now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we may not be having sex 5 times a week if we got 3 kids and both of us are full-time,
mm-hmm.
in, you know,
yeah.
that just may not happen. So
yeah.
what's happening in our relationship now, and how do we grow and have the type of relationship we want based on the situation now, not based on what we did in the past?
Right. And, you know, especially at the you know, when you're going to get into a real committed relationship, be that you're moving in together or you're getting married or buying a home together, whatever, you know, ask yourself, what if this is as good as it gets?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just assume
yes.
that
this is
going to be as good as it gets.
Are
you
okay
with
that?
That?
Yes.
Yay, if you are. And if you're not, What conversations are you not having? What are they saying that you're not accepting it at face value? Why are you okay with you know, going into even a more committed relationship? If you're not okay with the relationship, what are your expectations?
So what advice for couples that want to spice up the sex life?
Spice it up. I mean, you know, you don't have to be swinging from chandeliers.
Right.
I think that often intimidates people. I mean, it could, one of the easiest ways to start kind of fueling that erotic energy is talking about sex.
Right.
Like, talk about it. Talk about it with your partner. And that's where the whole it has to be safe comes in. Mm-hmm. Because one of the biggest things that I always stress, if there's any area where you really cannot shame your partner, and you can shame your partner by the words you say, by your facial expressions. Like, if they're telling you about their sexual fantasies and you're like,
right.
You know, making a face like
are you what? Like shaking your head,
yeah,
like, no.
Like or laugh.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's done.
You know, there. Mm-hmm. That forget about it. Mm-hmm. You know. So the biggest thing to think about is not shaming your partner if they're going, but talking about sex, mm-hmm. What you're interested in. There's like, and we can post a link to it, but there's this great little handout that I often use where it goes through all these different sex acts, mm-hmm. and you can talk about like, yes, I'd like to try that. Hell no. Because it's important to talk about your limits.
Know what your limits are.
Yeah, you absolutely are allowed and should have limits and boundaries within your relationship. But no, I wouldn't do that. Or then, maybe I might be willing to try that. Mm-hmm. So just start talking about it and fueling it. I mean, nowadays it's so easy to stay connected with people. Send a flirty text, send a nasty text, mm-hmm. you know. Of course, it's going to be your comfort level.
Right.
But also pushing yourself a little bit out of your comfort level.
Right.
Because it's that riskiness factor mm-hmm. that like, ooh, maybe we shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
You know, this is kind of like the fun part at the beginning of the relationship.
Exactly.
How can you recreate that? And you can absolutely positively create it, but you have to be intentional about it.
Exactly. You have to be very aware of your needs and their needs and being like, it's making the time to making it a priority. That's what it is.
It has to be
a priority. You can't just assume that it's going to spice itself up. You can't just assume that eventually we'll get to that place.
No.
Because it takes work, just like every other part of the relationship.
Well, and I like what you said, making it a priority, because as you are together longer, you will have more and more shared responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be more and more outside factors begging your attention that you have to prioritize, you know, your relationship, your intimacy, your sexual intimacy, because I think a lot of times people begin to take the sexual piece for granted.
Right.
But it's really that factor that sets that relationship apart from your friendships, from, you know,
Yeah. So what about the singles? Like, so there are a lot of single people that are out here on Valentine's Day having a good old day.
Yes.
So what can they do to, I guess, kind of work on themselves and their sexuality or their connection to people or, you know, themselves?
Yeah.
Like, what advice would you give?
I say take the time to really learn yourself. Mm-hmm. And that means really learn sexually. Learn your body.
Right.
You know, explore your body. I think especially, you know, with women struggle with this more, I think, because it's sort of expected that boys are going to self-pleasure. You know, there's movies about it. There's jokes about it. It's like, pick up the dirty socks from your son's.
Right. Boys will be boys.
Yeah, boys will be boys. But with girls, they're not necessarily given that permission.
Right.
And so really understanding your body, how it functions, what brings it pleasure, and then just like caring for yourself or loving on yourself the way you want somebody else to love you. So how do you treat yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, how much attention do you give to your dreams, to your desires, to, you know, do you like you?
Right.
You know?
Right. And how is somebody else going to be able to give you those things or support you in those things? Or are they going to like you? Like, yeah. If there are things that you struggle with yourself and things that you have huge issues with, how do you, one, learn to accept it, or two, decide to change it? Like, those are the two options that you have, because when somebody else comes in and they would trigger you if they point out that thing that you're so insecure about, you know, so you have to become confident in yourself and working on yourself, to make sure that when you do have a partner, if you do have a partner, that they understand who you are and accept you the same way you accept yourself.
Right, right. And understanding too, you know, that's the beauty of committed relationships, is it's where we really learn even more about ourselves.
Right, right.
It's that big mirror that's being reflected back to you, what we like and what we don't like.
Yeah. I think also for singles, it's important to just enjoy, like somebody, I can't remember who it was, but they were saying like marriage is not like a accomplishment or like that doesn't, that's not the end all be all. So enjoying being single, like it doesn't have to be this whole bitter, like, oh, I'm single. And I just want a relationship. Yes, you can still desire a relationship. You can still want to be married and all those things, but make sure that you are living the most fulfilled life you can now.
Absolutely.
So that it's just icing. It's just
it's the extra.
Right. It should not be the whole cake. And so, I'm always for, like, what are you doing to make sure that you're enjoying your singlehood?
Yes.
Whether that's spending more time with friends, whether that's finding things that you are passionate about, that you love, going out on dates. I tell people all the time, when I used to have, like, a lot of single women come and see me, and they would be like, I just hate the dating process, and I just hate the whole thing, and it's just stupid. And I'm like, I get that, and trust me, I get it. But I also think there's some fun to, like, the stories I have, or the stories that my friends have, like, those are things that are, like, so valuable. And so there's a way to kind of enjoy it, and, like, the ridiculousness of it sometimes, and really just make it more of a fun experiment than, like, this dreaded thing that you have to do.
And that's because of the value that we place on, because, I don't know, would you say that that's more of a struggle for women than it is for men? Like, men are like, oh, I just want to be married.
There's some, but yeah, definitely there's, you know, more pressure on women to be married, have kids, especially if you do want to have kids.
Exactly.
And that, there's this whole internal clock or whatever, which, just so y'all know, it's not real. your likelihood of having a baby, like, after the age of 38 just goes down by, like, 1% or something. It's, like, something ridiculous. Like, you go from, like, 20% or 70% to, like, 65%. Yeah. So it's not even like, anyway, sorry. That irks me so much when people are like, they feel like they have this clock that's saying, I have to have a baby. In order to have a baby, I have to have a husband, or whatever the case may be. Like, these, all these expectations of you that are built on, like, these false narratives that sometimes are based on people that's trying to sell you certain things. Or just, it's a lot.
Well, it's the value that is, the messages that women get about what makes them valuable.
Right.
And for so long, the narrative, you know, I feel like it's shifting. Right. But the narrative has been, like, you are a valuable woman. Your life is valuable if you are married, have children, you know, and then as the years went by, add more, and you work, and you do this.
Not take anything away. You just keep adding to it.
Keep adding to it. And you cook dinner, and you're in shape, and you're sexual, and you want it. It's like, whoa, you know? And so I think what it really is boils down to is why? Ask yourself why. Why do I really want to be in a relationship? And I mean, the reality is we're wired for connection. You know, humans want to be with other humans. That's different. And knowing that that's okay. Like, you can be single and sometimes it's going to suck.
Right.
You can be married and sometimes it's going to suck. Right. Life just sometimes sucks.
Yes.
So understanding that life sucking sometimes, it's just part of the human experience.
Exactly.
But if you're placing certain values, like if you're really fixated on marriage or children, whatever it is, really ask yourself why. What is this really, really, really about?
Right. Right. I agree. So we are about to kind of wrap
up.
The question we typically ask guests is, what makes you a dope therapist? I just feel like it's obvious.
I mean, if you don't know by now.
You don't know us.
you will never know me.
Right, right. But I guess we'll answer that question as far as what makes us a dope therapist and what makes therapy dope. So I guess, let me think. What makes me a dope therapist is I'm genuine. This is me. And it's taken me a while. So as I guess, a younger therapist. I've been doing therapy since my 20s. I was really like in this whole perception, like I had to be a certain way, mm-hmm. right? I had to dress professionally. Mm-hmm. I had to, I mean, I still wear my glasses just so I could look a little. But there was like an image that I felt like I had to have.
Yeah.
And I feel like at this point, I'm like, I'm just going to be me.
Right, right.
And I'm going to attract clients that are interested in working with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been the best thing for me because I can be genuine. And that was, if you've known me for a while, when I started Room for Relations, I like tried to separate it completely. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, okay, Room for Relations over here. My therapy is over here. I didn't want people to know about it because I did. I just chatted with my friends and had conversations. I cursed. I did all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want people, but now it's like, that's me. If mm-hmm. you want to know way more about me than you probably should, mm-hmm. you can check out the podcast. Like yeah. that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You can hear about my dating stories and stuff like that. You know, maybe you want to, but you know, that's just what it is. And so I am me as much as I possibly can be. And I feel like me being genuine and comfortable with myself has helped so many more mm-hmm. people understand that one, therapy does not look in a, like a certain way.
It, right.
it can come in all different ways and shapes and sizes and if whatever you need to fit you. And then along with that, like they can feel comfortable. It's not like this whole one up thing. And it's not like, oh, she's the ex. Like, yes, I know more about these certain sure. topics, but I'm coming at you as I am. And I want you to come at me as you are. And we're going to work together to figure right. out what's best for you.
I'm on this journey with you.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm a dope therapist because I can talk to you about mm-hmm. topics that are typically taboo.
Mm-hmm.
And I either have the ability to help you work through those issues, or I have enough of a network of resources that I can refer you out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a dope therapist because we can talk about these issues that can often cause us a lot of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to shame you.
Right.
Right. Like I'm here. I'm in it with you. I'm hearing, you know, I'm creating the space for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that space is often what we need of just the compassion and the empathy and
right.
somebody just to hear our story.
Right. Right.
You know, sometimes people don't want, we don't want to share our stories because we think nobody else can even tolerate hearing our stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's why therapy is dope too, is like, we want to hear your story.
Right. Right. Your stories are valuable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And your story merits to be heard
mm-hmm.
and all parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not just the highlights, not just the,
right.
parts that reach Instagram, you know,
right.
but those parts that we're scared to share because that is where the healing lies.
Exactly.
When you can be met with compassion and empathy mm-hmm. to something that maybe has caused you shame for a really long time, that's where the growth happens.
Right. 100%.
And that's dope.
Yes. Very dope. Very, very dope. And therapy is dope because...
Therapy is dope because, again, it allows you to grow more and more into who you really are meant to be.
Right.
You know, I think I like to say so often it's I'm just reflecting back to you that which maybe you forgot somewhere along the way. Because we come into this world and we're like, you know, we don't have all these preconceptions
right.
or limitations.
Right.
That starts getting put on us, you know, little by little. But I'm just reflecting back to you that which maybe you forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, cause if it didn't resonate with you, you would be like, yeah, that lady's full of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it resonates with you, that's cause on some level, you know, that's your truth.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I think therapy is dope because therapy can help you get the skills and the tools to create the life that you want to live. I think that sometimes we get so caught up in what we're supposed to be doing, what we should be doing, that we forget what is best for us
mm-hmm.
and what our heart and our mind desires. And so therapy is a place to help you really focus on, okay, so I understand that all these things have pushed you in this direction, but let's focus on you. Let's
yeah.
focus on what you want and what you love and what you want your life to look like. And how do we get there? If you're struggling with relationships, like, okay, so let's focus on what's going on with you. And it's all about you.
Yes.
It's all about you. Even if you come in as a couple, I'm always like, we're going to focus on the relationship, but we're also going to focus on your personal responsibility in this relationship.
Right, right.
It's the time for you to grow and to create whatever type of life that you want. I'm big on like you're the CEO of your life. You determine what your life looks like. And so it's just an extra way for you to get that life that
That's
you
right.
want. So,
yay. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here. Amber, Danielle, Kara, thank you so much for your questions or your comments, rather.
Right. Quick update. I think I said this. Okay, we have a lot of things going on. So last week, I think I said about the iTunes thing, but I don't think I said it on the actual podcast. So yes, we are on iTunes. What we need, guys, this is what we need. We need reviews. iTunes is the number one place to get known.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an Apple fan, but whatever. But iTunes, I understand the value of iTunes, especially when it comes to podcasting, because we get, I think, 100 days from the day that we've gotten on iTunes to get on a New and Noteworthy.
Mm.
When you get on New and Noteworthy, more people see you, more people listen. So in order for us to, you know, bring more value to more people, to reduce the stigma of mental health, to give people resources and help people, we need more people to hear us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can, please go to iTunes, leave a review, preferably a good review, but you know, you can be honest.
We're dope.
Everything about this is dope. No, but go to iTunes, leave a review, give us 5 stars, let us know what you think about the show. And like I said, the more reviews we get in this short period of time, the more other people will be able to hear us. So that would be, we'll be eternally grateful if you decide to share and leave a review on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Also, of course, we're on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, every place else that you find podcasts. Also YouTube, this video goes on YouTube every single week. And so follow us on there, and also follow us across social media.
Yes.
At melaninandmentalhealth.com. Melanin and Mental Health.
On Instagram, Facebook, Twitter's the only one where it's Melanin Health.
Right. And check out melaninandmentalhealth.com to find a dope therapist. If you are a therapist, we're still in February. We're still looking for our 100 therapists.
Yeah.
I think we're almost at 50.
Ooh,
so we're dope. Perfect.
I love it.
14 days.
Yeah.
14 days in, and I think we're pretty close to 50. So
yeah.
We need that second set of 50. We're looking for 100 dope therapists to sign up for the website. It's completely free. You don't have to use a credit card.
Just go in,
put your information in. You might get an email from me saying like, hey, you got a picture or, you know, whatever, but we'll get you approved pretty quickly. Friday.
That, you know, connecting those clients with you. They're looking
right.
for you.
We say this all the time. We're getting so much attention to the website.
Oh my goodness. And we regularly get these inquiries, you know, for, do you know of a therapist in Baltimore? Do you know one in North Carolina? So, you know, these clients are looking for you. We want to be able to connect you with them.
And the first place we go, of course, is to Melanin and Mental Health. We're going to refer those people before we refer anybody else.
Right.
And then if we can't find them on there, then we have to do an exhaustive search to try to find somebody. So just make our jobs easier. Make it easier for us to get you clients.
Make it easy for the clients to find you. They're hearing that therapy is dope. And so they're like, okay, I'm willing to give it a try. We're the dope therapists. So make it easy for them to find you.
One tip I do have, and I'm probably, if you're on the newsletter, you'll probably get this, but somebody was telling me that they went on there to sign up and they didn't realize they needed everything. I don't know why she didn't realize that, but she was like, oh, I didn't have my bio and I didn't have a picture. And I was like, well, just so you know, our website is, the goal is for clients to connect with you. So even if you have a Psychology Today already or something like that, the goal of this website is to show, this is how we connect with these minority communities.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's something I have to tell myself. I'm going in and changing my bio because I needed to be more of like, this is why I love working with minority communities.
Right,
this is why I love helping these certain communities. And this is why therapy is dope. And so you don't have to use the whole completely professional. Like the goal is for clients to see somebody that they connect with, that they believe will help them and that they can relate to. So I feel like more than anywhere else, be yourself on your bio. So that's just my little tip, just because based on the clients that we get and the people that are looking for therapists, that's what they're looking for. Friday, we have our Valentine's Day event, but our February event here in Houston.
Yes, Relationships and Sex.
Yes.
And I'm excited. We've got a lot of people that have registered for it. It's on Eventbrite.
Go to
melaninandmentalhealth.com.
Look at events. It should be there.
And the theme is?
The theme is, yeah, you look good, but are you good for my mental health? Did I get it right? Okay.
Yes.
So it is a live podcast. So it's our networking event. We'll just get around, talk, hang out, have some drinks. But then we're also doing a live podcast of Room for Relations, which is my sex and relationship podcast. And that will be the topic, mental health and relationships.
Yeah.
And so it should be a good discussion. I hope you guys
can
make it. If you have questions, email it to info@melaninandmentalhealth.com. So that we can do, we do listener letters normally on the show. So if you want to add a letter, just send us a quick email so we can read on the show. We might do a pass the mic type situation, yeah, but we're not 100% sure yet. But we hope to see you all there.
Yes, come see us. Come say hi.
Next Friday we'll be in Dallas.
Yes. Jeez, February is a short month. Why do we pack so much in such a short month?
So much going on.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you all, and we appreciate, you know, I appreciate you.
Oh, it's Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
We will talk to you guys next week. Have a good Valentine's Day and enjoy the rest of your week.
Bye.